Welcome to the first spring sports edition of High School Spodcasters. I'm Scott Titrington, high school sports editor here at the Journal World. I'm joined, first of all, by Eric Sorrentino, our Free State beat writer. Eric, welcome.
Scott, thanks for having me. And you mentioned the spring podcast. I'm so happy for the spring season to come along. You know, you get the baseball, the nice weather outside, except what's up with this 30 and 40 degree temperatures that we've been getting, cold weather rainouts. This is not feeling like spring yet to me, Scott, so I'm hoping for some good weather here in the future.
I'm from California. It doesn't feel like spring to me either. Let me kick it over also to Jeff Vidot and our Lawrence High beat writer. Jeff, welcome.
Thanks, Scott. And harken back a little bit to the winter sports season. Now, this is hypothetical because I don't participate in these type of gambling things, but if I did, I would like you guys to know out there that I had the entire Final Four, the entire final game, and the correct winner.
Yes.
So just food for thought.
That's impressive, Jeff. And you had Florida winning it all as well.
Florida winning it all.
Impressive.
Very nice. In our strictly for fun only office pool, Jeff finished second via the tiebreaker. He lost out. He didn't have the correct final score, or close enough to the correct final score. So he actually finished second in a tie, but we'll give him a little bit of dap or props or whatever the 2007 word is for a job well done. Needless to say, Sorrentino and I did not finish.
Not exactly.
Running. So, and neither did anybody else on the Journal World sports staff who participated. So remember that when we're making predictions on these games the rest of the year. Although I got to say, we did do pretty good in the high school basketball prediction department. Mm-hmm. So anyways, here we are, spring sports season. I know it's been a few weeks since we've gotten together to talk. Hope you all have actually missed us and have been logging on and looking for us and not finding us. I know that's kind of a bad thing to say, but it beats the alternative and the whole if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it. You know, if a spodcast is on the computer and nobody's logging on, then we're just quite frankly wasting our time, and we hope that's not the case because we enjoy doing this. So we'll be back. We'll get about six or seven of these in the bank for the spring sports season. Hard to believe we were looking at the schedule earlier this week, making assignments and doing some different things for our Preps Plus pages and things coming up. And believe it or not, we're looking at only 6 weeks until we're into the postseason, the final postseason. Some sports, tennis comes to mind, actually wrap up quicker than that. But 6 weeks until we get into baseball, softball, track and field postseasons, and before you know it, we're on to the summer. So we're going to have a lot of good stuff to talk about. We'll get some good guests in here in the ensuing week, so you don't have to listen to the three of us just continue to babble on and pretend that we know what we're talking about. Unfortunately, that's what you're stuck with today. But we have a few good topics to touch upon, and I'm going to go ahead and jump right into probably the biggest one that we have in the entire spring, quite honestly, and that's the City Showdown in Baseball featuring Lawrence High and Free State. And those two will actually meet today at 5:30 at the Firebirds home field. You know, typical classic matchup of the two city powers going head-to-head. And good numbers for both teams going into the game, guys. I know Lawrence High enters with a 5-2 mark overall and a perfect 4-0 mark in the Sunflower League. Free State is unbeaten on the season, 5-0, which also makes them unbeaten in the Sunflower League with a 2-0 mark. So, guys, I'll just open it up to you and just give me some quick early impressions on what you've seen out of the two city baseball squads so far.
Well, I think, Scott, this matchup is going to be interesting because, hey, let's be honest, Free State was the 800-pound gorilla of the last state champ, but I think they've lost a little bit more than Lawrence High, they obviously played some pretty, especially the latter game last year was very tight, almost going to the last inning. So it's going to see how, it'd be interesting to see if Lawrence High has sort of even the stakes now, having returned most of their lineup.
Certainly, and on the Free State side, I mean, you talk about a team returning a couple of seniors from their state championship team last season, but they haven't played in a while. These rainouts, they haven't played since March 30th, I believe. So it should be interesting to see what kind of scheme that Coach Mike Hill has in mind for the Firebirds come today at 5:30. But a couple of things I've really been impressed with: the middle of this lineup is very nice. Take a look at Andy Pettz, probably the leader of this team. Also, you know, you probably remember him, a linebacker from the football team also. So he plays catcher. He's kind of like, I kind of like to say, the Jason Varitek of the team, the captain, you know, with the C on his shirt. I don't know if he has that, but he should. So he kind of anchors the team, and it should be interesting to see. Kind of like Jeff said, this went right down to the wire last year, and when it's Lawrence High Free State, it's always an interesting game. So, I'm ready for both of them to get after it today.
You mentioned the Andy Pettz, Eric, and it's sort of fun for me covering LHS baseball because it's sort of like all the old friends that we've mentioned throughout the years. Sure. Just all the old names that we remembered. We talked a lot about Dorian Green and Daniel Green from basketball season. Well, they're the go-to arms for Lawrence High. Tony Williams was the guy who powered the running attack back in football season. He's the outfielder. Johnny Novotny, we remember from basketball season. Also, the other big player you want to mention is Nick DiBiase at first base. But I think what they're going to go as far as is Daniel Green, who is arguably the best pitcher in the area, in the city. So I think that's... They go as far as his arm can take them.
Now, looking at the numbers so far, it looks like a classic matchup of contrasting styles. Mm-hmm. Let's look first at Lawrence High, Jeff. To be fair, they haven't lost a team in Kansas this year. Their two losses came in their season opening trip down to Oklahoma. They lost to Tulsa Union and Tulsa Kelly. I know at least one of those teams is ranked in the top 20 in the nation. That's the nation by a bunch of different publications that cover high school baseball, and it might be both of them. I know they're both solid teams. I know they both had a lot of games under their belt before the Lions got to them. They then closed out with a victory over Stillwater, Oklahoma, which has pretty good college baseball with Oklahoma State. Oh, yeah. And since they've come back to and played in the state of Kansas, they've won four straight games, and the lowest amount of runs they've scored in any of those games is 12. Now, to be fair, they put up 16 and 17 in a doubleheader against Leavenworth in their bandbox of a ballpark over there. So that plays into it somewhat. But you look at the numbers Lawrence High is throwing up, and you mentioned Dorian Green and Daniel Green in the pitching, but talk a little bit about these hitting numbers. I mean, obviously, high school baseball, aluminum bats, you expect to see a little bit of scoring, but averaging, you know, better than 13, 14 runs a game these last four games is pretty impressive.
It really is, and those names I mentioned earlier are obviously factoring into it. That said, I think this is the first opportunity to really get a handle of how good LHS is. You mentioned the Leavenworth game. I mean, we expected that to be sort of a blowout in Lawrence High's favor. And then on the other hand, they had just started the season going to Oklahoma against some really tough teams, far travel. You know, I really didn't expect them to come out on top here. Their offense is really churning, but this is going to be sort of the barometer coming up here to see how strong this Lawrence High team is, if this is a team that can make a run, an offense-fueled run into the postseason.
Now, on the flip side, Eric, I know all the talk all year by Coach Mike Hill about his Free State team was, hey, this is a completely different ball club than the one that won the state title last year, especially in the pitching. We lost everybody. We lost... You know, Scott Height, Susan, and a lot of the other names are escaping me right now. I know Robbie Price ended up throwing a lot last year. But all those, Travis Blankenship, that's the other name that I was trying to come up with. Odd that I would blank on Blankenship. Anyways, they lost all those great arms that they had. But you look at what they've done, and in five games this year, they've allowed a cumulative, let's see if my math skills hold up, 10 runs. So you're looking at 2 runs a game. Closest contest they've had is a 6-3 contest against Blue Valley North in their second game of the year. But they've been built on pitching, it looks like, in what they've done so far.
And you're absolutely right there, Scott. You know, you look at what they did in Claremore, Oklahoma, in that tournament, and you look at Cody Lown, for instance, who complete game 5 hitter, 4 Ks in that game. I mean, if you can get that type of production, I'm not exactly familiar with the type of competition that they indeed saw in Oklahoma, but...
Well, to be fair, they only got to play one game because of the weather. We talked about weather. They went down there expecting to play a couple of games, and they only got one in, unfortunately.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of a wild card there in that sense. But you take a look at Kyle Cross, a returning senior. You know, he got some starts as well. But the really name to keep an eye on, in my opinion, is going to be junior E.J. Swanson. You mentioned Height Susan earlier. He was kind of the guy that Coach Mike Hill said, you know, whenever we needed, you know, just think of Mariano Rivera, when they needed somebody to close, I mean, Height Susan was the guy that they turned to. And he says that you don't really see that a lot in high school baseball. You don't see the closer like you do now in the big leagues. So Swanson is a guy that they're trying to develop into that type of role. He's kind of a utility guy. He plays outfield, catcher, and he can pitch. And they brought him in the relievers role in that game you mentioned, Scott, against Blue Valley Northwest, I believe, in that 6-3 game. And he closed the game and saved it for him. And Coach Mike Hill said, you know, he's like, I really hope that this can be the guy that we can develop into. You know, it'd be nice if we can get him to kind of replace Scott into that type of closer's role. So it should be interesting, I should say, to see what type of role Swanson plays, because he can do it with the bat as well. I mean, he had a home run in that Oklahoma game and went 2-for-3, you know, with the bat. So he's a pretty nice young talent over there, the junior.
I like these comparisons there. We got Jason Veritek,
you know,
Mariano Rivera. Somebody's been watching a lot of ESPN.
You know, and that sounds like I have an East Coast bias, you know, but being from Texas, you know, I grew up watching the Rangers, but I'm a huge baseball fan, and Scott played, you know, baseball for KU, so he's a huge baseball guy too. I'm eating up these spring podcasts. I love baseball, and you'll be hearing a lot of major league kind of comparisons from me, because I'm just a baseball dork. So I can't wait to keep talking baseball.
Well, I'll verify the dork part.
That's right.
Anyways, the name that's right.
Thank you.
Just real quick, the name that struck out ashamed. For me, the name that stuck out for me for Free State has been Caleb Grass.
Absolutely.
I know I've been in here working on the sports desk a couple of nights when Free State's called in their road games. And he's already picked up a couple of victories, deep in games. And the word that Coach Mike Hill has used a couple of different varieties is gritty, gutty, you know, that type of stuff. So it tells me he's a guy who's going out there and battling and giving him some quality innings. Obviously, he's got a couple of wins, and he's keeping the score down. So,
and Scott, like you said, I mean, the real, I guess if you could say, question mark from a returning state championship team was the pitching. And what production this early in the season to get from these type of guys, when you look at Gress and Cody and you know, Swanson, Cross, it doesn't really look like they really lost a whole lot, but they really did. I mean, they lost so much, but being somebody who I didn't cover them at all last year, it's tough for me to really notice that they really lost them.
Right,
you know,
and I'm the same way. To be fair, I ended up covering a lot of track meets, softball games,
right,
some different things other than baseball last year. I actually did get to cover the Free State Lawrence High game, so I did get to see that one. But the thing that sticks with me about Free State, and Eric, you and I spent a lot of time talking about this at the tail end of basketball season, and about how Free State has finally arrived as an athletic school because of some of the things that have happened in football this year and basketball this year. But the one program that's been really solid from day one over there has been baseball. They've won a state title, obviously, last year. They've been in the state tournament multiple times. And I think maybe that's it. We're talking a lot of new names that maybe a lot of listeners out there aren't familiar with. We're certainly not familiar with them. Andy Pettis is the one name that I recognize. But a lot of it must be that winning attitude, and you hear about guys talking about they get in a program and it fosters success, and you learn how to win by watching the guys before you do it, and maybe that's the case with Free State, is these kids have learned how to win by watching what the two or three previous classes have done.
And you're right. This has been by far the most successful athletic year in the history of Free State. I mean, it's not even close, to be honest. And if, like you mentioned, you know, with baseball, they've always been there. If they can kind of cement themselves and keep, you know, keep it going like they have been, this is a heck of an athletic school, and you know, they're certainly showing it this year.
Now, one thing you alluded to, Eric, at the beginning of this podcast was weather. And obviously, it's a spring in Kansas, so you can't avoid it. That's why the spring season is so short, because they can't get outside and play really until April. And then you've got the end of school in May, so you got to rush through it in just a couple of months. Obviously, it's been bad around here the last week or so, even the last few days. The sun's been out, but the wind's been blowing like crazy. It hasn't
really
been
cold.
Warm. So what type of effect might that have on the game this afternoon when you got these teams going out? 5:30 start, you know, it's not like they're starting at 2 p.m. at what theoretically is the hot point of the day. For both of you guys, think that could have an effect on these teams going out there having to play in these conditions?
One thing that I kind of think of when I think of that is, you know, when you think of the summertime, you think of, you know, baseball's just flying out of the park when it's hot. When it's really cold, I mean, it's tough for hitters. I have no baseball playing experience, but just from listening to so much, I mean, you know, batters probably have a little bit tougher time taking the ball out and getting into an offensive rhythm just based on the sheer, you know, weather change and how cold it is. I mean, when you were a player, Scott, did that kind of affect that cold? I mean,
well,
did you favor that as a pitcher?
Well, let's face it, aluminum bats,
right?
You get
exactly
a ball on the knuckles. I mean, your
yeah,
hands are going to hurt until
days,
the next time you're
yeah,
hitting. Yeah, and probably for days, to be more accurate. To me, the determining point is not as much hot and cold. You can hit when it's cold. You can hit when it's hot, obviously. To me, the impacts it's going to have are, A, pitchers getting loose. Now, both teams haven't played for a while, so that probably helps. You're not going to have guys who, you know, threw the day before and are going
exactly
out trying to get
everybody's
loose
fresh
again.
Definitely.
So you got that advantage. B, playing defense. And I think this gets overlooked a lot when it's cold. If you're standing around out there and your pitcher's maybe not throwing strikes and you get some big innings, and it starts to get cold standing out there and at shortstop waiting for some action, all of a sudden a guy hits a laser at you and you haven't moved your feet in 10 minutes and you got to make a play. So I think that's part of it. And then the other thing, and I think this is the most important factor, is whether the wind's blowing. Because it can be 10 degrees, but if the wind's blowing, balls are going to fly out of the yard. As we saw in a lot of the copy that Ryan Wood was writing this week on the Texas-Kansas series, I mean, there were some bitter cold days there, but guys who aren't even power hitters were just launching balls. Balls were getting hit up in the air that pitchers didn't think were going to leave the yard, and they were. So I think that'll be interesting. The way Free State's field sets up, you'd have to have a wind, and now I'm going to play amateur meteorologist here and come off sounding really stupid, but you'd have to have a wind out of the southwest to blow the ball out of the yard, or out of the southeast, I guess, to left field, to blow the ball out. And with the limited education that I have, I would think that means it would have to be a warm wind because it's coming from the south. So seeing as it's supposed to be cold, I'm guessing the wind isn't going to be coming from that part and therefore won't be a factor. Last year, this game was played at Icefield. The Lawrence High half of this doubleheader was the first game. And the field sits a little bit differently, and there was a lot of offense. It was all in Free State's favor. They ended up winning it in a mercy rule kind of deal after five innings. I don't recall a lot of home runs, but there was a lot of offense. So that's a long-winded answer to your question,
Eric.
Just
call us baseball tonight, Scott. The next thing we need is video so we can kind of dissect the hitting styles of all the batters like those guys do. But this is good intense stuff right
Harold
here.
Harold Reynolds is still without a job.
Bring him into the weekly podcast.
I'm liking this analysis.
All righty. Well, I think we've pretty much covered this baseball game in detail. Just looking at the rest of the season, both teams will be in action. The name of the tournament actually escapes me right now that they'll be playing in the middle of April, April 19th, 20th, and 21st, where they'll be playing ball games at KU's Hoagland Ballpark, at Community America Ballpark, which is the home of the Kansas City T-Bones, and they'll get to see some out-of-state competition again. We've got teams coming in from Omaha, Nebraska, which is a good baseball area, from Kansas City, Missouri, Blue Springs, Missouri, some other opponents still to be determined according to our schedule. But they'll have that in the middle portion of the season, much like high school basketball, where we go through tournaments in the January portion of the slate. And then they'll jump right back into league play with so many teams in the Sunflower League. You get a chance to really only see everybody once, maybe twice with some opponents. And obviously Lawrence High and Free State play twice. And they'll play again in the final game of the regular season, May 9th at Hoagland, in a 7 p.m. game right before they head to Substate. So you might want to mark that on your calendar. Let's go ahead and shift gears a little bit, talk about what is probably the marquee sport for the girls in the spring, and that's softball. And both teams also in action. Unlike the boys on the baseball side of things, they don't have that city rivalry for a little while yet. They won't play until May the 1st, and they'll play a doubleheader over at Free State. But let's go ahead and look at how things have shaken out. Now I need an English lesson. At this point of the season, we talked a lot in our season preview about Free State. Everybody back except for their number one starting pitcher last year, Summer Mulford, obviously hasn't had much of an effect. Firebirds carry a 4-0 mark into today's doubleheader against Olathe East, one of the premier programs in the state every year and in the Sunflower League. But anyways, Free State sits 4-0, all victories against league opponents. They've actually only played two doubleheaders because of the weather, again, sweeping Olathe Northwest and Shawnee Mission East and having only given up 3 runs in 4 games. So, guys, just tell me what those numbers say to you so far about the Firebirds.
Yeah, definitely, Scott. And you look at this team, certainly should be another Free State team that goes deep into the postseason. A name that has certainly stuck out to me is, you got to look at Catherine Smith, they're the junior pitcher here. And actually, it's been a pretty nice family for the Smith family. Megan Smith, her sister, I believe is a freshman, and she's gotten some time at pitcher as well. You look at Catherine Smith, 3-0, Megan Smith, 1-0. It's a nice little duo right there. But Catherine Smith certainly has been impressive. She's 3-0 and also has a save on the year. And what usually happens in that type of situation is when Megan starts, a little bit of a younger arm. Obviously, not as experienced as Catherine is, so Catherine will come in sort of like a save-type situation and obviously kind of spell Megan in that sense. The pitching has been pretty impressive. In fact, when I talked to Catherine after that doubleheader that they won at home, she said, one pitch that I've really worked on this season has been the rise pitch, and that's been really nice. It gets up and in on the hitter's hands. It makes it really tough for them to kind of turn on it, according to Catherine, and that's been a deadly pitch for her. So it's been a nice season for them so far, certainly 4-0. You can't ask for any better start for Coach Pam Pine and the Firebirds.
Now, like we said, everybody else back is a starter. Some of the key names people need to be watching for. Free State second baseman Livy Abney,
right,
who will be attending Wisconsin next year on a softball scholarship. Allie Hoke, who we've had in here, podcast
familiar guest with that name,
for basketball,
yes,
is the starting catcher. And Abney and Hoke hit right in the middle of the lineup. A lot of other names to keep an eye on, Eric, but how much do you think it helps having these kids that have played that level? Many of them basketball players, volleyball players, other sports. Got to obviously translate onto the softball diamond.
Absolutely. And you even look at the top of this lineup, Scott, and the 1-2 hitters are Maggie Hull and Rosie Hull, who played a little bit of varsity basketball for Coach Brian Duncan. This is a very experienced team, like you said, and a bunch of sisters. You meant look at the Hulls, the Smiths. You mentioned Livy Abney also.
Her sister Brooke.
Brooke,
right?
Abney on the squad as well. It hits kind of in the middle of that lineup as well. It's a tight-knit group. I've only covered one game, and it's already evident that this is a team that kind of, you know, has been together for a while, has played for a while, and it's certainly evident. Having that experience is so huge because you look at, you know, they know what every game certainly means. There will be no slacking off with this group, in my opinion, just from seeing them from one game and knowing the experience that they carry. So it should be a good year for
Eric,
them.
It reminds me a little bit of the Free State girls basketball team in the sense that
absolutely,
you have so many, they have so many senior starters that have just been together for so long.
Right. And actually, Jeff, you mentioned a really good point. I'm looking here. 1, 2, 3, 4 seniors that have started, that are on this team right now for the softball team. And you look at what Brian Duncan did with the girls basketball team. I mean, they had 5 starters, 5 seniors, you know, 4 of them who started. So a very similar, and even, you know, a lot of people from that girls basketball team. So,
well, and it's a matter of where, what position some of those kids play. You know, they're strong,
absolutely,
at catcher, they're strong at second base, they're strong up the middle.
Absolutely.
The only thing they're,
which is very,
they're
important,
not featuring a senior is pitching, and Catherine Smith did see a lot of time last year.
Exactly.
Going ahead and flipping to the other side of town, Jeff, obviously it's been a rough start for the Lawrence High softball team. They're 0-4, dropping 2 doubleheaders. We mentioned the aforementioned Olathe East and how powerful they are year in and year out. They kind of put it to LHS in the season openers. And then Shawnee Mission South swept the Lions also. Obviously 0-4, tough way to start for LHS, but just give me some initial impressions on what lies ahead for the Lions this year.
Well, it's basically, they still have, I know they've gotten off to a rough start, but they still have some offensive firepower. Lauren Kelly is signing with Bradley this week, probably the star of the team. Sam Hayes is going to play at Fort Scott Community College. Some good talent. You know, I talked to the coaching staff before the season, and really it was going to come down to how their pitching matured, because they really have some young arms there. Casey Wellborn is a freshman, and earlier, you know, she looked as good as anybody. And that, I think, they can turn this around if some of those young arms sort of develop, and if they can get, if they don't, it's going to be pretty tough. We all know that that's what it always comes down to in baseball is pitching.
Well, and softball too, since we're
and
talking about that. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I was using that as a generic.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. And I was, in fact, going to say, as much as we talk about how important pitching is in baseball, softball, I mean, if you've got someone who can throw strikes, put a little heat on it, throw strikes, and change speeds a little bit and keep some people off balance, I mean, you don't have to scratch out much offense. You can win a lot of ball
games.
That's
actually a good point. Softball pitching is probably even more crucial than baseball.
I'm even reminded kind of a little bit of Kate. Remember Kat Osterman from UT when she came here to play against Kansas? I think that she was so dominant that Texas had one hit the whole game. It was a home run, and they won 1-0. So if you have somebody that's dominant like that, you know, in softball, it can certainly take you a long way.
All righty. Well, just to give a quick, schedule update. Like we said, Free State plays Olathe East today in a doubleheader, and Lawrence High will be making, excuse me, they already played at home. I was going to say they're making their home debut. Lawrence High will be playing Shawnee Mission East in a doubleheader today. And pretty much from here on out, you're looking at doubleheaders twice a week for these teams, So if you want to get a chance to get out and see them in action, and as big a baseball guy as I am, I'm telling you, if you want to get out and watch something in the spring, go watch softball, because there can be some bad high school baseball games, as evidenced by Free State's 33-0 victory against Kansas City Washington and Lawrence High's 33-3 cumulative sweep against Leavenworth. I'm a huge baseball guy, as Eric said, but if you want to get out and once the sun actually does warm things up, as opposed to just sit there in the sky and basically do nothing, if you want to go out and get a tan and enjoy a little time at the ballpark, get out and check out some of these softball games. And again, as we mentioned, if you're looking forward to the City Showdown, both installments will be May the 1st at Free State. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and shift gears one more time and talk a little soccer, which would be another one of the marquee sports here in the spring. Both teams have got 5 or 6 games under their belt. And, in fact, we've already had the City rivalry, the City Showdown in this sport. Lawrence and Free State actually played last Tuesday, and played to a 1-1 tie. And this actually came after Lawrence High won its first 3 games of the year to win the McPherson Invitational, Jeff. And just talk about what it means for the Lions to be able to come out and get off to a 3-0 start in a sport that they've historically not really fared very well in.
Exactly. They got off to a great start. Obviously, you know, they're playing Southern Kansas, and I don't know that much. Let's be honest, I don't know anything about those teams over there. But it is a strong start. And as far as the game against Free State, difficult to tell because they were so road weary coming back from that game. They came back after 1 in the morning. I go into more detail in the Preps Plus notebook that appears today. But it's actually, at this point, I think Lawrence High looks like the more talented team than Free State. Abby Vestal, very strong for Lawrence High. But, of course, they look absolutely even going double overtime tie when they played. So talking to the coaching staff after the game, it was interesting. You know, Coach Pendleton, he admitted, he's like, you know, we're probably lucky that they were a little bit road weary. But then on the other side, Coach Anderson said, hey, look, Free State's really improved. Lawrence High did look a step slow to me, but it'll be interesting to see if they really are this evenly matched, or, you know, if it was the sort of the road weariness. Right.
Abby Vestal, what a great name. You know, you look at obviously the kicker for the Lions football team. This is where they probably scouted her in the first
yeah.
place. And I remember her from last summer when I did a soccer camp story or something like that. And she was noticeably one of the better players participate. And it just has a thunderous shot. Just you know, kicks the heck out of it, pun intended on that. She is it looked really good in the camp. I haven't seen her since then, but seems like she's still doing pretty well.
Well, I don't think you'd get much of an argument from anybody that she's the top girls soccer player in the
area.
Obviously, she just has a tremendous leg.
Yeah.
You don't get out and kick a football
right.
as well as she does without being able to have the leg strength that she does. She kind of plays the middle of the field for LHS, kind of controls things, kind of like a point guard in basketball, kind of does the same things as a center midfielder for the soccer team. And Jeff, you brought up a great point about what Coach Jason Pendleton, Free State's coach, said about Lawrence High. You know, they played the night before in the championship game of that tournament down in McPherson. It was supposed to be earlier, but again, the weather.
Yeah.
Reared its ugly head. So they went down and had to play Monday. You had Lawrence High playing Salina South in McPherson. So both of these teams had to go down an extra day they weren't expecting to. And you talked about the Free State-Lawrence game double overtime. Well, the title game down in McPherson went not only to overtime, not only to a second overtime, then it went to a penalty kick shootout. Well, they tied in penalty kicks, so then they had to go to a second penalty kick shootout, which became a golden goal situation, and Lawrence High finally got the win at that point. By the time they got home, kids weren't in bed until 2 in the morning,
exactly.
Had to get up and go to school the next day, and then had to play their crosstown rivals. So I think you're right. I think Jason Pendleton knows his team really dodged a bullet in that situation and got Lawrence where they didn't have fresh legs and weren't well rested and all those different types of things. I think the early returns, you look at the records, Lawrence High, as you said, we don't know anything about those 3 teams they beat, but they are 3-1-1 on the season going into today's game against Olathe North. Where you look at Free State, and they're still searching for their first win, Eric. They're sitting at 0-2-2, 0-2-1 in the league. The only, I guess, non-negative blemish would be the tie against Lawrence High, but just talk about the Firebirds and where they're at and what they're going through.
Yeah, and you're right, Scott. And actually, in one of their losses, Coach Pendleton was pretty frank with Jason Elmquist, who covered the game, and said, you know, they were just really, in all honesty, the better team today, and maybe even in general, I think, is what he kind of mentioned there. And it's the whole thing. It kind of was the same thing for the Free State boys soccer team. You know, early season, getting in a rhythm. Who's going to be where? You know, and who's going to be constantly stepping up for the team? Because that was kind of tough to see in the guys as well early. And you know, it's tough this early. You know, and with being 0-2-1, all you can do is keep playing. And obviously, as you saw Jeff covering it, you know, it's. You know, a little bit kind of like the Lawrence High softball team, a little bit. Kind of everybody's kind of getting a rhythm and just get off the schneid finally.
All righty. And Free State, they actually played last night against Washburn Rural, and then we'll play tonight against Shawnee Mission North at home in a 4 p.m. game. And then we don't want to forget about Seabury Academy making their first appearance in the Spring Sports Podcast. They also field girls soccer. Much the same problems that Seabury has during the boys soccer season. Low numbers,
not
turnout, difficulty getting games because they're an independent, bad weather, you got all these different factors. Seabury has a 2-week spring break, so they get set behind again. So right now they've only got, by my count, about 7 or 8 games on the schedule. They opened with a loss at Kansas City Lutheran last week. Don't play again now until April the 17th. So we really don't know a lot about the Seahawks. Won't really ask you guys to comment on it, but for all our listeners out there, know that they're there and that they're playing. They've got they've actually got a string of 5 home games coming up between April 17th and May 8th. So if you want to get out and check them out over at the Youth Sports Inc. Complex, we encourage you to do so. Well, that pretty much wraps things up for what we're going to do tonight. Obviously, there's some more sports out there in the spring that we didn't have a chance to get into tonight. We'll kind of tackle them as things come up on a week-by-week basis. I know as we get real close to the Kansas Relays the week of that, we'll definitely make sure we get a couple of track athletes or field athletes in here to talk about things, because that's obviously one of their two biggest meets of the year, coming in their own backyard, followed up with the state meet in Wichita at the end of May. We've got boys golf. We've got swimming. Both swim teams have got out and notched some team victories and qualified some kids for the state tournaments. And we've got boys tennis. So we've obviously got a lot of different things going on. Guys, I'll just ask you for some final impressions now as we gear up for the spring, just kind of some things you're looking forward to.
Well, certainly can't go without the stat of the week, even on the first one of the spring. And it's a pretty simple one this week, Scott. You mentioned a little love for the other spring sports. I'd like to give the Free State boys tennis team a little bit of dap here. Stat of the week is just simply 5. I've been very impressed with Blaine Kerr. That's the sophomore of Free State tennis player. 5-0 in singles, 1-0 in doubles. He's actually moved up to the number 2 singles spot. He started like 3 or 4, I think, according to Coach John Renberger over there. So he mentioned in the preview that he just had a bunch of talent. Just going to see how much. You know what he could do and get him out on the court. So certainly an impressive showing so far. Just a very young talent, 5-0 already in singles. So a little dap to Blaine over there at Free State.
For my lock of the week, I'm going to go with Free State baseball over Lawrence High. I sort of think it's going to be a little bit like last year. The first game won't be as close. Later in the season, when these teams have gelled a little bit more, I expect a really well-played game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out on the diamond. It's tough to play a baseball season when you're not playing a regular schedule.
Exactly.
As far as getting out there. And neither one of these teams has had a chance to play. Lawrence High got to play last week a couple of times. Free State had their game against Olathe Northwest changed and then changed again. And then, it's too cold. And there's been one thing after another that's cropped up. And it'll just be interesting to see how both teams play without being able to get into a rhythm. And you just hope that doesn't affect them, that they're able to go out and put on a good performance and show the fans, you know, what they can do, as opposed to, you know, being a game that's filled with bad pitching or bad defense or anything like that. So we look forward to moving on with the spring. Like Eric said, I know we're both big baseball guys. I myself have never until the last couple of years really gotten into the track and field much myself, but with the history of track and field around here, you can't help but really fall in love with it. And with the relays coming up, and then you get the state track meet, which is just a crazy, it's just a madhouse. I mean, there's no better way to say it, with all 6 classes competing at the same place for 2 days. But there's just a lot of fun stuff going on. Hopefully the weather starts to turn and get nice. So it's an enjoyable part of the year. Kids are getting ready to, you know, seniors are getting ready to graduate, and just a lot of different factors that can have ramifications on what happens during the spring season. So we'll stay on top of it. We'll bring it to you as best we can between what we're doing here. Our Preps Plus page, again, made its debut for the spring today, and will continue for the next 6 weeks. So hope you're checking that out, looking for our City Athletes of the Week and Q&As and all that good kind of stuff. So I think that pretty much wraps it up for the first edition of the spring. We'll come back to you next Tuesday and look forward to bringing you the best coverage we can the rest of the spring.